What's up, people? Welcome to another episode of Garage Media Junkies. Episode number, dang it, my age just doesn't work. Number 52. There we go. Hey, pop. Today we have another guest. It's a junkie guest. Don't think it wrong. It's just like the name. Nothing related to the name, really. My friend, Deanna Pimienta, right?
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. You hear that lovely voice. We met a long time ago through Zumba classes. Yeah, people, I teach Zumba at some point in my life, believe it or not. And yeah, we built a nice friendship relationship. And it's been a couple years since we really see each other physically. You know, we follow on, you know, social media and we see each other work. But really, it's been a while, so I'm so glad that you say yes when I, you know, give you the invitation.
Well, thank you for inviting. I appreciate it.
So just to explain you and whoever is listening to this for the first time, the dynamic, with the junkie guest, we try to, the podcast is media related. So we ask our guests their relationship with media and, you know, what's going on with the future of media, how's your involvement with it. And pretty much because it's become a milestone in human society, I think, since TV, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think TV was like downhill. Nobody reads book or do anything smart anymore. But no, I mean, that's basically what it is. So just to start this talk, I want you to tell us, when you were a kid, what was the relationship we have with media, with TV or radio? Like, there were some boundaries, you know. My parents, more or less, they were okay. Like, yeah, it's fine. He's watching, like, this guy bleeding. I think he's going to be fine. So what was in your case, you know, like, you know, with your parents and growing up with media?
Well, when it comes to, like, TV, I mean, I, you know, watch it all the time as a kid. I won't lie. My parents used to say, hey, I need you to, like, step away from the TV there. So, yeah, but they were pretty, like, conservative, and they didn't really want me to watch, like, you know, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, we watch novelas all the time, so, I mean.
They're right.
Yeah, but, yeah, I think when it also comes to the radio, I listen to, actually, because my dad's Mexican, so we listen to, like, a lot of Hispanic music growing up.
Especially when it was cleaning day. You knew it. You knew it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't think it's a particular thing to us, you know, growing with a Mexican family, but definitely it's a milestone right there, like a keystone of, especially with the mom.
Yeah.
They put Juan Gabriel or one of those and like, ah, oh, damn it, it's cleaning day.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
So like especially with my mom, when I think about her, I think about Selena.
Right.
Because like when we used to like grow up and clean the house, she'd just put on like Selena and we'd be, you know, cleaning and
exactly. Or something. Right. So. And it also, let me be clear, it depends on the kind of mom that you had.
Yes.
In my case, my mom was pretty crazy. Like, it wasn't joyful cleaning around.
Mom's awesome, by the way.
Yeah. But yeah, it wasn't. It should just make it really painful. That's how I can put it. But yeah, any particular show or something that you remember a lot? I mean, you already mentioned Selena.
Well, yes, Power Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't?
Oh, man.
My buddy Chris, which, you know, is my other guy to do the podcast, he's going to be happy to hear that. I think he's the first guest to say love Power Rangers.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
He had, like, tons of toys and stuff in his house. I'm like, dude. But, yeah, anything else?
Shoot. That's honestly the only one that really comes to mind, because I remember watching that a lot, and novelas.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, that's part of education as Mexicans,
yes.
I think.
The one at 7, 8, and 9, all three.
Right? Yeah, he has, like, the schedule and everything.
Yeah.
Oops. And it was even the family, the mom, you know, the grandmother. It was, like, the whole family thing, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I never like him that much. Can't remember, it was one novella that I remembered and I was fan. Like, I will see it with my mom and let us watch it.
Yeah.
No shame in that, people. No shame in that.
It's a way to bond with family, so.
Right. What about, you know, coming to your teenage ages? It was the same thing. Your parents still, like, sort of put you boundaries, or it was more free, or?
No, that there were still boundaries, but I didn't really watch TV, to be honest. Yeah. I was really focused on other activities, things. Yeah. You know, I was actually really into like sports and all that. So just like always practicing or drawing, actually, those two.
Any like crazy like show or movie that you remember at that time that it was huge, like in the news and stuff? Or, I mean, I know you mentioned that you didn't, you know, you weren't really into that, but it's always a movie or something they talk in the news, or like everybody else talking, like, oh, this is
crazy. Actually, I did watch this one show with my sister, Degrassi.
Oh, okay, okay.
That was like, it's like a Canadian
you
know, show, and it was actually before Drake got really famous, because he was in the show. You know,
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of old, but I know. But I think you're way younger than me, by the way.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I'm 30.
I'm 29.
Oh. Well, I never catch up with that show, I guess. Funny. But anyways.
Well, we had like this one. Okay, actually, now I do remember. Now it's coming back.
Yeah.
My family had bought this like special like cable that was like, I don't know, like, shoot, what's it called? But they had all these like Mexican channels.
Huh. Okay.
So we were able to get all these other international channels. So for some reason, we got stuck on the international ones.
That's better.
It's like different culture. It's cool to learn.
Yeah, because growing up, which since I live in the border most of my life in TJ, we used to have a lot of them San Diego channels. So I grew up with a lot of, you know, American channels.
Oh, that's cool.
Until, you know, we got cable and then like, well, it was awesome.
Well, you know what, now that I think about it, when it comes to TV, I think that was one thing. In high school, I got really big into, like, I was taking, like, film class for a little bit. So that actually affected a little bit of how even till now, like, I can't see movies the same.
Ever. There you go. Yeah.
Ever.
It's hard to explain that to people.
Yes. Yeah. Really, because he, like, made us, like, do all these projects, like, make your own trailer for a movie, own whatever. So it was like, edit this, edit that. So it was very cool to see the different camera angles, you know, all that.
Exactly. Stuff. All the boring stuff that people normally, like, whatever, shut your mouth, let me see the movie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it happened to me, especially when I went to film school. I mean, I was already interested before, but once you learn the technicality and, like, what it means, like, okay, this guy is doing a full shot, that means something, it's going to tell you something, but, yeah, it was fun. What about movies? What was one of your favorite movies when you were a teenager? Middle school, high school?
Oh, you know what? A Walk to Remember, The Notebook, all those girly ones, yes.
Like the flick chicks?
Yes.
The Notebook. Is that one with Ryan Gosling? No.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people tell me it's bad, but I don't know. I never see
as
it.
As a girl, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, so. Probably. I don't know, with these generations, girls, maybe like the girls, like they don't want that story anymore.
Yeah.
We don't know. But I think it's, you know, any movie that sort of, I mean, I'm not super corny, but and somehow appreciate it. They still sometimes in these times make those movies, you know, like, you know, getting together with that person that you love. And, you know, I think everybody experienced that at some point in life. So it's relatable. And, you know, as the goss.
Yes.
So, why not?
Everyone likes, well, not everyone. A lot of girls like Ryan Gosling, so it helps the movie.
Yeah, I'm glad my wife doesn't feel interested in Ryan Gosling at all. I don't think so. Or she's really great at hiding.
Yeah. Well, I will say my movie selection has changed since then, so.
Probably, yeah. Mine as well. I always feel like I was, especially with art, and, you know, music and, you know, all this stuff. I always feel I was that person that, like, the one hit thing. I would just consume what it was, like, the popular thing. Because I wasn't educated. I mean, that's, I think, that's one, a big element of, you know, growing with, you know, developing a taste for something.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was with music. Like, I don't know if it was Backstreet Boys. Well, yeah, I guess I need to listen to Backstreet Boys because that's, like, the cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But that was me until a couple of years ago. Yeah. Then I become boring and people just think that I complain about everything.
It's not boring. It's just not mainstream, you know? That's more exactly. Like, you know, I mean, now, like, for me, even though it's, like, all mainstream, but I'm a big fan of, like, superhero movies.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I guess it's like, I mean, I'm start getting tired. Like, I wake up, go to Twitter, which I shouldn't do that and do something else, but I went. And everybody's talking about the new trailer.
Yeah.
Now I'm tired. Like, I got another one.
Yeah.
But I understand the impact. Like, mm-hmm. a couple of years ago wasn't even a market for it, really.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you like comics and all that stuff, like, oh, you're the weird or freaky guy.
And like, now it's, like, cool.
Yeah, exactly. Being cool. Which is fine again. It was fine.
Yeah.
How was your sort of starting with painting? Because you mentioned even as a kid you start to do some drawings or paintings. Mm-hmm. How you started with that? Like, it was somebody that maybe give you a gift or you saw something on TV or somebody else?
Well, to be honest, I've been drawing ever since I came out of my mom's womb, I think. Yeah. She used to tell me stories about, like, when I was...
You leave some graffitis inside her belt.
You know. You already know. Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
She said that, like, I used to just draw everywhere, all on the walls and all that kind of stuff. And okay. So, like, you know, like, I'm sure she wasn't happy about that.
Yeah, tell me about it.
But, yeah, I mean, I would...
My kid has started, trying. It's like, I'm in the middle, you know. I don't want to stop her curiosity about things, but at the same time, like, dude, I need to clean this wall again, you know. So
yeah, that's too funny.
But so you just started, and since you remember, painting has always been there.
Yeah, and also my family. I had a cousin that when I was around 7, he used to teach me how to, like, draw.
Okay.
So he was really good at portraits, but one of the things that he told me, and I'll never forget this advice, is he says to me, I just need you to watch me draw. And I was like, but I want to draw. He's like, no, just watch. So I remember for weeks I would just watch him draw, like, all these portraits of famous, like, Latin people, you know. And then and I'm happy that I did that, because now when I do anything artsy, I always watch, and I'm like, oh,
right,
you know, like, it really helps you
understand the process. It's kind of like with movies. I mean, one of my goals is to make movies someday, but it's just that process of watch the movie and appreciate all the elements, and then just, you know, it's not a rush to break in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it will be nice to have some millions like Spielberg, but
you gotta dream big. You never know.
Right. No, I always tell people that the road that you have in life is different than everybody else.
Yes,
you never know. I think it's, as soon as you don't quit, I think it's a chance. Mm-hmm. So 7, you start, like, let's say, like, a proper training for drawing.
Mm-hmm.
When it was the point where you kind of like, I want to do this more and more towards it become, I assume, a passion of you? Because when you're a kid, you want to do some stuff, but you don't have the proper idea of, you know, that becoming part of your life, kind of. You know, you don't understand that part when you're a kid.
Mm, yeah.
So for you, when you clicked it, like, oh, I want to really do this for sure.
I was about 17, I'll say that. Mm. Yeah. My mom had signed me up for these, like, private oil painting classes.
Fancy stuff.
Oh, yeah. And that was the first time I actually really, like, painted with, like, not just, like, the school paint, you know.
Yeah.
It's different. But I fell in love with it. And ever since then, it was like, all right, this is something this that is I have it. To continue.
Sweet. Do you remember what was, like, the first stuff that you painted in those classes?
Oh, yeah.
You always remember the first stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. She had me paint. Well, she said to me, her name was Miss Pickle. So let me, Miss Pickle.
Yeah, Miss Pickle.
She said that when it comes to oil painting, she always suggested to start with, like, black and white.
Okay.
So you had to be able to mix within the grays.
Yeah.
So I would paint. I painted a dog as my first one. I painted Tupac. I painted Tupac. Yeah.
Awesome. I like that idea.
Scarface. I have that on my dad's, actually.
Sweet. Scarface. So you were 17 and you were already into Scarface and Tupac.
Yes.
I think I found that, like, really cool. Yeah, because at 17, like, if I tell a girl about Scarface, like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, why I want to see this guy kill a million people. This is weird. So that's great. I wish more girls were like that at that time. So do you... Now, obviously, you have Instagram, which I love it. Like, I love seeing your work on it.
Thank you.
And it was funny because the time that we were being, like, into the Zumba world at the time, it's not like I never imagined, but I didn't know that part of you. And when I find out, like, wait a minute, this girl paints and paint great. Why didn't you know this?
Well, I didn't know that you were all into all this. So, I mean,
right. You know. Yeah, for me. And yeah, I think I'm trying to go to that way because my journey, I think I hide it for a long time in my life. Like, nah, this is not going to work. And also I didn't never have support from my family, really. I mean, it was fine. They will sew it. I'm like, ah, that's fine. It's cool. It's your hobby. But, you know, it never sort of helped me to push me towards that goal. Mm. And I feel like I always have it, even as a kid.
Yeah.
I feel like art, it was my sort of path. But again, it's just so many people telling you, like, no, that's, you don't do that. Like, you're going to be poor and living in.
Yeah.
So.
That's, yeah.
That's how was your journey for you? That regard.
Oh, it was, you know, I would say it's a little similar to yours when you're talking about yeah. that.
I don't know if it has yeah. to be, you know, that we're Mexican. But
I don't know. I was like, I don't know if it's
something in there.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Like parents yeah. want you like go to college and have all like an amazing, mm-hmm. being an amazing lawyer or whatever other thing, yeah. besides art, and that sucks.
Well, to be honest, it was crazy because I had a very long journey and I feel like it's honestly recently that I decided, you know what,
yeah.
I will make this like yeah, my, you know, part of my career. But I mean, I had to lie to my parents through college, to be honest, yeah. because when I was in college, I found out that me going to college was not for me, but I didn't know how to tell them, you know, so.
Of course, yeah, it's super scary.
Yeah. And they were paying out of pocket at the time and I was going to like a university. So it wasn't a, you know,
yeah,
like, what's it called? I can't even think. Community college.
Gotcha.
So I actually want to go to art school. And so my mom said the same thing. I'm sorry, you're not going to make money, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I was like, screw it. And so then in college, I ended up like, I hope my parents don't hear this, but I lied to them throughout my college career and I took dance classes instead.
Mm. Sweet.
So I was like, I'm in school, but I was actually taking all these dance classes.
Yeah. Having to blast. Yeah. I didn't lie. but like sometimes I just wasn't going to school. I will go to the movies or
hilarious. Just,
and the way it's so lame because the way they caught me is my mom at some point find my jacket and she was doing my laundry and at that point I was doing all my stuff. So I never assumed that my mom would do my laundry. She was being nice and find like all these bunch of tickets of the movie theater and like 10:30 a.m. Like, what the like, this guy's supposed to... I get busted. But, yeah, it was like, I don't know. I feel like my soul was dying inside. I tried to study computer engineer. Because at that point, I didn't know what I want. And my dad worked, like, as an IT for so many years.
Mm.
So it had sense. Like, oh, yeah, sure. I'm going to do the same shit that my dad was doing. But people, please don't do that. It's the worst mistake you can make.
So
you started recently to really consider, well, not consider it, but go for it, like
sure.
So tell us a little bit about your process of from, you know, starting a small idea to start painting, you know, what's the steps that you take to get your final result
when it comes to the career, when it comes to the painting,
the painting
itself. Let's see, well, depending on the inspiration, you know, I mean, I usually like to like take a reference photo, you know, and to be honest, I take like 5.
Okay.
You know how some people, just follow this one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I like to look at least 5 to 6 pictures and I'll create my own and I'll take a little piece from there, a little piece from that, you know?
Gotcha.
And sometimes that's what takes me the longest, not the painting part, actually trying to create, you know,
that the whole idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really savvy about, you know, as a lot of stuff. I'm not really savvy about a lot of stuff, but you have a particular style. There's a name for that style, or like you have your own name, or like how you will describe your paintings?
I would call mine popstract.
Okay.
So it's a mix of pop art and abstract.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. And I love it. I love it. I don't think, again, maybe it's because never go super deep into painting, which I should, but
have you ever painted? Or
I tried when I was a kid, but yeah, no, it was clear. I mean, it sounds for some people now it may sound really mean or like, why do you say that? But you need to learn where are you good at doing something or not. You know, that's life. It's really sad, especially for a kid to tell him, like, you don't have to tell it. I think when you're a kid, you don't say that. But maybe you can reroute them to, like, maybe this zero thing. So, yeah, painting and drawing, I always feel really jealous of people that they could do it. So I'm not that great. Probably the lack of practicing, too. It definitely helps, practice as everything in life. But, yeah, it wasn't that great. Same thing with the music. I tried to learn to play a guitar.
Yeah.
And it went bad. I mean, I know how to play a little bit, but I wasn't destined to be a musician or something like that, for sure.
Well, maybe in the next lifetime, you never
know. Yeah, for sure. Maybe. Or maybe when I become older.
Yeah.
I think at this point in my life with music or like the guitar is like, if I can play a few songs, I'm happy about it. So that's the goal. That's the intention. How's it been, let me try to think better my question. Social media is becoming like really important for, especially for the art side. Like, it's so wonderful. The musicians, filmmakers, painters, illustrators, like, all these spectrum of people doing art, they have sort of a window to show where before it was super tight.
Yeah.
And I think even for painting, it's even a little bit harder because it's this sort of image people has of paintings and museums. Like, some people don't think that, for example, like graffiti is art, which I, disagree. But how's it going, that journey for you to try to find your work and how the market you are? Because, sadly, business is a part of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's been good recently, yeah. And I noticed that it's only because I've been producing a lot of paintings.
Oh, okay.
But before then, I had the Instagram, but it was very, like, I would post here and there. But
yeah,
it's, like, ever since I've been doing that, I've actually, like, I know a lot of people talk bad about social media and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it comes to the art business, like, it's been really good because right. I've seen a lot more. It's a lot more, like, humble, you know what I mean? Like, people, yeah. like, it's almost like the art people, they understand a little bit more,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
they, like, appreciate. So. Right. I mean, not all, but for the most part, yeah. a lot more. I mean, it's not
true,
how,
true.
Like, in my own personal Instagram, it's not like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I've had it, I had at least, like, 4 to 5 people contact me about, yeah. like, art shows and all that stuff. So, there Sweet. Will be some new stuff coming up soon.
Sweet. Yeah, I've seen, you have a show, I think? Well, no. What is it called?
Art and Beer. Event.
There you go. I saw it recently in your Instagram. So that's great. I mean, yeah, me too. I think I've been posting more regular because I'm gonna be honest. At some point, I was sort of lazy about it. Like, yeah, whatever. I'm gonna post here and there, or I have an idea to do, but then I didn't do it. Or people's like, why you're not posting more stuff constantly?
So it's hard.
Yeah, it's just like just bust my ass, go and take more pictures. But at the same time, that practice has just taken me to a different level to, like, polish my technique and what you want to do and do pretty things, I guess. How's your experience with social media? I mean, you tell us already a little bit, but how you think that, encourage other people to put stuff out there?
By having a story, that's something that I'm learning. I know that sometimes
I like that.
that part can be in connection, make me a little lazy, but it's like, I've noticed that every time that I've kind of posted, like, oh, hey, here's my painting, this is how much it costs, I don't really get that many likes. But if it's a painting and I say the story behind it, all of a sudden, people are more interested, they're more engaged, So
yeah, for sure.
That's been pretty cool.
What's been the biggest challenge towards this art journey? Like, what's been the toughest part of all of this?
Let's see.
don't need to go super deep, let me bring my, Kleenex if you're going to tell us a story, like, super
deep. I mean, honestly, to just kind of be yourself.
Yeah.
Because there's so much out there. There's so many ideas. And it's like, you know, you just have to stick to like your guns. Like, yeah. Hey, you know, like me, like I do pop strike art and I this love what I do. Yeah. And this is just, yeah, this is just who I am.
Yeah. I feel like that's a important element. For so many years, I second thought about myself or what my ideas, like, this is shit. It's like, you know, it's like, dude, that's not healthy, really. And actually, recently, I hear to like a story of Guillermo del Toro and the guy, you know, say something about like your issues. Well, not your issues. Sorry, my English is not that good. Like, you know, it's virtues and what's the other? Anyways, like all your little imperfections as an artist. Kind of make you more or less some people to hate you so much, and those same things make you like the other people loves you so much, like all the, those little details that we call it imperfections, that's what either some people hate you or some other love you so much. So I think that's important as an artist to just try to let go a little bit, you know.
Yeah, there's like one thing I did learn too, is that like, I mean, we all kind of have our own, like, it's like art language.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, kind of like, have you heard of like love languages? You know, like, not everyone likes to be loved a certain way.
Right.
Same thing
right,
with
right.
art. It's like, not everyone's going to relate to your art language.
Yeah, for sure.
So
it's a saying, I don't know if you ever hear in Mexico, like, you're not a gold coined, you know, because everybody loves gold, but you're not. So get used to it. So far, I never have any super harsh comments, you know, in social media, but I follow their people and like, dude, some people, it's just, they shouldn't have access to. So, but then our president has access, so
yep.
We're not gonna go into
nope,
that
we're not.
No, for sure not. We don't have nothing to say, really. You say you study a little bit of filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
And dancing too. Are there some elements from that art form that you implement in your paintings, or?
I started making time-lapse videos.
Oh, nice.
Recently.
Okay.
And that's been fun. But before then, it was just a bunch of Zumba videos that I was making.
Yeah, yeah. So. Do you ever like feel inspired? Like, I don't know, let's say from the movement of the body when you paint, you know, since you dance so much.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I recently, even before I got injured, I was taking a lot of ballroom classes and all that stuff.
Nice.
So I actually was able to kind of be more in touch with my body when I would dance.
Yeah.
So ever since that's been happening, I was able to kind of implement that more in my paintings for sure.
Sweet. Any interesting projects you're working right now? You don't need to, you know, give all the details, but
just, you know, with these art events coming up.
Yeah.
And also, like, I'm really trying to start more of, like, art videos on my YouTube page.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I have already a ton of Zumba videos on there, but, you know, I can't dance right now. So I'm
trying
to make
art. You're
just
going to switch it. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have any future projects where, like, I don't know if you already did this, but where you have a theme?
Mm.
You know, like a whole team of different paintings, but they're around a certain topic or something like that?
Yes, I just started one right now.
Oh, okay, nice.
Well, the Selena paintings was my series.
Nice.
I do have more. I am going to go more of like a Latin-based series as well.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do like Frida Kahlo and...
Gotcha.
I'm not going to really mention more people,
yes. People, you know, out there like to steal sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
No, but yeah, I get it. That's nice. So that's definitely an important part for you, the Latin on you, or like your background as a Latin person.
Yeah.
That's important for you. Why do you think Selena was so impactful to you?
Many reasons. Well, I'll tell you a little story because it's, I mean, Selena is honestly a really big part of like my dance and my art career.
Oh, for sure. The girl was talented, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, great.
Yeah.
To be honest, when I was a kid, I mean, I did love Selena, but once she passed, like, I couldn't listen to her music for a long time because, you know, the radio just overplayed it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until, like, about 3 years ago that my friend was like, hey, why don't you, like, do, like, a Selena Zumba party?
Oh, I saw that,
I was like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah,
so I didn't really think much about it. You know, I ended up, like, studying Selena just to kind of get inspiration, you know, about it. And, like, she blew me away. I was like, now I understand. It's like all I could think about. I understand now, you know. So the party itself was like one of the most like best Zumba parties I've ever had, and like people were like crying and things like that because it was just such an emotional day, you know. And people were dressing up as Selena.
Sweet.
So, you know, I really wanted to kind of bring that out to people, like to just like, you know, because I know that Selena is of hope at the same time, because it's like she was like, she just went for her dream. You know, she was a tough girl.
Right.
And, you know, she knew how to sing and dance, and she was self-taught, you know, which is even more amazing, you know, so.
And at a time, I mean, now we have all these opening to other cultures and, you know, welcoming other, like, I don't know, now K-pop is a thing, I guess. It's fine. I don't follow it, but I can see it's a big thing for some people. But at a time, being a Latin girl, being, you know, like these reckoning force and put them on media. I mean, when, you know, the thing was, I don't know, the blonde singers, that's all it was on TV and popular stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, like Britney Spears, I think was the biggest deal, whatever. But yeah, it was like super... inspiring for a lot of the Latin base here, especially here in the U.S. Seeing a girl, you know, with dark hair and, you know, brown and singing and being sexy. And
I think
some people don't realize the importance of a figure as Selena.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I personally don't like her to work, but at the same time, I'm not going to be an asshole and say like, just shit. Like, you can't say that.
Yeah.
It goes beyond just the music and, you know, what it was at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure. Nice. Selena, then. Maybe we can do a photo shoot and you can be Selena.
That'd be fun.
I don't know. It's an idea.
Oh, you know, I was going to say one more thing when it comes to her is that another reason why I think she's so relatable with, like, the, you know, Chicano, I guess, community was her language, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she spoke English first and then she learned how to speak Spanish. Just after, you know. So even though, like, you know, she would have interviews, like sometimes she would kind of mess up and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I relate to that, because sometimes I'm from here, so it's like my Spanish is not as like great as I would like for it to be.
And the sad part of all of this, especially with these times, is I don't know if you ever experienced that, but me, you know, born in Mexico, I'm more educated and less ignorant now, I think. I like to think that. But you know, with people that they come, like you say, people that couldn't speak Spanish really well, it was certain like bullying from the Mexican people to, you know, Mexican American. Yeah. I think that sucked. Like now that I think at some point I did it to somebody, but yeah, you know, you're just dumb and you don't think about it. You don't think how impactful and how hurtful it can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I feel like for me, I was kind of stuck in between like three cultures, you know, it's like being American and then having a Mexican culture and a Salvadorian culture.
Okay.
So
it added an extra layer in there. Yeah.
And I remember in high school, I always had the hardest time like trying to fit in. Like, oh, I was either like too Mexican for the white people, or I wasn't Mexican enough for the Mexicans and I wasn't Salvi enough for the Salvis. Exactly. I was like, is there like an other?
I think the reason I relate to that problem, and it's not like I experience any sort of racism or, you know, harsh words or anything against me, but I'm like really on the edge of the border of Mexico. I always have contact with U.S. and then all the other family or the extended family lives on the south. So in some way, it was certain like you're not from here. You're like you live in that weird spot, you know, the border kind of thing. So that's the reason I kind of understand more and I feel related, or I can hang out more with those people that have some sort of those. Well, they used to have those problems. So, like, I'm too Mexican or too American. For me, it's like, whatever.
We're all people.
You choose whatever you want to be, I guess.
Yeah.
And be the best person you can be.
Yeah.
What about, what's your goal, your long-term goal as an artist? Like, besides, I mean, we need to eat and we need money for sure. But I feel once you understand what an artist it is, or you know, or whatever image you create in your head of what an artist it is, it sounds like really, I don't know, it's gonna sound maybe a little bit too egocentric, but just sort of your legacy, because it gets a point where everything you do and every step you go forward with your art it becomes more meaningful, and you don't want to, like, it's kind of like a little son or something. You don't want to get hurt, mm-hmm. or misinterpreted, you know? So what's your long-term goal with your art? Where you want to go? I don't know, what's going to be the longevity of your art, maybe?
Yeah. Well, I do want to keep continuing to paint and, like, kind of, like, put my name out there. But one thing that I am going to make a goal is to kind of, like, you know, let people know about, like, Popstract. Because yeah. I was looking into it, you know, and there's actually not too many Popstract artists. Yeah. And I thought I was crazy. I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, like, how is there not
enough? Is that possible in this age where, exactly. you know, so many...
So it's kind of like, that's something I've learned, that it's something a little bit newer, yeah. you know? So I definitely want to kind of like have a staple in that style because it's different.
Yeah, that's I think that what I was trying to tell you before, like I'm not an expert in painting, but it really caught my attention, your art, because I don't think it's that much out there. I mean, I seen, you know, typical classic, you know, styles or... I don't know, what was the thing that the pop art and stuff, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's something different on what you do for sure.
I try to make it original.
Right, as original as possible, because yeah. the other thing I discuss with people, like, oh, they tell me like, oh yeah, I'm really original, or my art is really original. Like, yeah, I get it, it's coming from you, but at this point, so many, like, a rich history on art, that it's impossible not to, it's impossible to do something pure, I mm-hmm. guess. Like, we are just a mix of ideas the end of the day.
There's like a quote, I think, from like Picasso or something, mm-hmm. like, we're all copycats, but it's like, you know, you don't, I mean, not, or we all kind of steal ideas, but it's like, don't copycat, like, make your own.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, some people go straight and like, let's do it, like, you know,
exactly like
brush by brush, the same thing. Like, yeah. You can tell what is not authentic, I guess, or honest. Mm-hmm. Any famous painter that you follow or that you feel inspiration from them? Either, you know, old from the old school or like contemporary?
Well, my three favorite is Frida Kahlo, Salvador Dali, and Andy Warhol.
Gotcha. That's those three. I think now that you mention all the stuff that you tell us, I can see that in your work a little bit.
Yeah.
All, you know, a little bit of each of those. It's so funny how it works. Yeah. You never think about those things until somebody pointed out, like, okay, it has sense, actually.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
A little bit. I'm not saying it's the same, but...
Oh, yeah, no. I wish I could paint like Salvador Dali. He's amazing. I mean, yeah. They're all great, you know?
What's the thing that you get more fascinated about him? I know a little bit of him. I've seen some of his paintings. I mean, he clearly was a great painter, but... maybe I'm not seeing something that you've seen, or some, you know, some people are seeing.
I did like a project on him in school, so maybe I'm like, oh, that's why I like
you get attached to him.
Yeah, so I kind of learned his story a little bit, you know, he actually went through different styles when he was painting as well, so that was pretty cool. But what I liked about his is more of his surrealistic stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So I feel like within that I see a story. So I like anything that makes me think.
Yeah, and also if I think about it, I don't see anybody either contemporary or before him to do, like you say, like something so surreal.
Yeah.
It's a really particular point of view in art, for sure. And I mean, Andy Warhol, I think he's well known for people.
His proper,
Yeah, for sure. And Frida Kahlo, I mean.
Yeah.
She was great, too.
Oh, yeah. Her story is nuts, too. That's
why. Yeah. I mean, do you like when Salma Hayek did her?
Oh yeah, she was great. It was a great movie.
Yeah.
And the book too. I read the book.
Oh, book. Okay. Mm-hmm. I need to read the book then.
Oh yeah, it's really good. I mean, like her story like really fascinates me, I feel like, because it's like she went through so much pain, she endured a lot, you know, but like who would know that she would be like the most like famous like woman artists of our time now.
Yeah, I think it's probably one of the first feminist on Mexican culture, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a few and other ones, but she's definitely the most recognized one. Yeah. And that's a funny thing because I feel that's, I mean, she went towards art and express herself, but her story is the story of so many Mexican women before her, or even until these days.
Yeah.
Luckily, things are changing a little bit.
Thankfully.
But, you know, that's the thing. Any recent movies that you've been liking a lot? Or like, any movie that you saw and then, you know, you base maybe a painting out of it or something like that?
Not with movies recently, but yeah. I have been watching a lot of the superhero movies I've been telling you about.
Yeah.
So we just rented the new Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
It was a so nice kind of fresh air. They changed a little bit.
They needed to.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not saying a lot of people is getting tired, but definitely it's like you're reaching a point where, okay, guys, I get it. Every single, you know, movie is kind of like the hero comes, save everything.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I have a blast with Deadpool. It was so fun.
Deadpool's awesome.
Super stupid. But it was, it was just that little change of pace. Like, finally feel free a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I think what's cool about all these movies, too, is, you know, all these characters, they all have their own story, you know?
True.
So
true.
I actually saw this documentary, like, a couple years ago, and ever since then, it also kind of helped me change how I see those
movies.
You
see the movies, yeah.
So it's like, you know, even how, like, Wonder Woman came up, like, when they first originally drew her, same with Superman, you know, it's like, it's amazing how many characters they came up with. So it's like, now when I see all these movies, like, they all have their own little story. So sometimes I'll watch the movie, like, 3 or 4 times, I'm like, I missed that! Oh, my gosh! So...
Yeah, for me, like, I think the positive thing of all this is, like, the character as a Wonder Woman. Like, how impactful that was for so many women. And then, more specific, with little girls, the new generation is growing up, they're like, okay, girls can be badass, too.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, with Black Panther, you know, for the African-American community, it's been huge.
Still need to watch that movie.
Yeah, I didn't see it yet. And, I'm like, superheroes again. But then I need to understand, like... the importance of that movie for that specific community.
Oh, yeah.
So now somebody needs to come with a Latin superhero.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Come on. I think there is a Mexican superhero, and it's a girl in the comics.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're coming a lot. The new Spider-Man in the comics, I think, is Latin, too.
Oh, I didn't know Okay.
So, I mean, I think eventually maybe some of those stories are going to leak to, like, the movies.
Yeah.
But I feel like... maybe we can jump to that. We don't have a lot of, call it cool, just because that's how it's managed here in America, like the coolness of a character or something. Mm. As a Mexican, I mean, besides the luchadores, and I don't know, Calimán maybe, but that's too old. Like, kids don't know about that. So we need, like, definitely people to put stuff out there.
Yeah.
Like a badass superhero.
Maybe they will. I could see it coming.
Yeah. I'm tired also about the Narcos movies.
Oh, you know? I know.
Like, there are a few that are worth it as a movie for the value that they have and what they try to show. But it's like, it's not, it's not like that's what we have to explore, really.
Mm.
Like, the same thing with superheroes. I'm getting tired, like, with those... like projects and stuff. It's like, oh, come on, guys, we can do something more.
Yeah switch it up.
I recently play a video game, which I don't have a lot of time these days, and it's a Mexican game based on the indigenous culture in North Mexico. I think it's Chihuahua.
Mm.
The game is called Mulaca, and those are the kind of projects that I feel like I'm glad that they're made, because they're not money. I mean, in Mexico, they're not support really for art.
Yeah, it's...
Really shitty, really. I mean, and all on, talking about movies, all we have is, these romantic chick flicks. I'm like, oh, man, come on.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's like, I'm watching novellas just in the... Nothing against the novellas, but when it starts getting saturated, it's like, dude, come on. Yeah. Somebody needs to come.
I mean, they're all predictable, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And they have all the same actors that they were in TV. They're just bringing now to
the same names. Constancio.
Yeah. My wife wanted to put, like, one of those, like, two name thing to our kid. And, like, I was like, no, that kid is not going to have two names. Like, Jose Julian or something like that. No, he's going to get bullied at school. And, like, when we come to my parents, like, no, please don't. So... we still have two names, but they're different.
Oh, okay.
They're not like, those
like long names, like, you know, Jose
de la rienda, whatever.
And keep it going on, you know.
Yeah, the more names you put and the more weird you put, it's like the fancier, or like the more, like, the family has more money, I think.
Yeah,
that was the deal, I think. But yeah, what about, just to wrap it up a little bit, what would be your advice for somebody that want to jump into art, but specifically to painting? What would be like that advice that you give somebody that's listening and they've been thinking about it, but they never do that first step?
Well, you know, just go for it. That's number one. Just paint, you know, and it's, once you get into at least 10 minutes of it, you're just going to feel amazing, you know? And, yeah, cause I think that another thing too is that don't focus too much on like judgments of other people. Yeah. You know, art is art, and I don't think there's any wrong in art.
Right. I agree on that. It's not right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's just like taste and what people like, and that's it.
Yeah, and no comparing, really, because like that's one thing that, like, you know, sometimes I don't like to do paint parties with my friends, and they're sitting there like, oh, I wish I could do it like that. I'm like, no,
don't do that.
Focus on your paint.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Just
do you.
So when you know, at the end of this podcast, we always ask our guests any recommendation or any kind of art, painters or books or, you know, music, movies, TV series, like what you will recommend. Do you say like, people, you need to watch this or watch this person?
There is this girl on Instagram that mm-hmm. I was very inspired by her artwork. Yeah. If you could follow her at Coletto Collections.
Okay.
So she does a lot of pop art stuff, and but her story is like amazing. She's like, says on there that she used to like drink, and then had this like tragic accident happen. So ever since then, she found her calling.
Gotcha.
So follow her story.
Something else?
Besides that?
Any movies or series or?
Oh, Modern Family. I know it's a little old, but it's
no, it's funny. Yeah, I remember watching. I didn't finish, or I'm not until like the recent season, but yeah, it's hilarious for sure.
Well, those are the only two I can think of right now. So.
All right. Can you tell us your social medias?
Yes.
Where are you at?
At @D_paint_ or @D_groove_.
Sweet. Well, it was a really pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
All right, people. You need to go and follow her and see, you know, all the stuff that she does. She's a reckoning force of art.
He's just being too nice.
I have to. No, but it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, people. See you in the next one. Go to, you know, GarageBand Junkies on Facebook. Go to iTunes. Give us 5 stars. If you're going to put 2, please. Just don't. We don't need 2 stars.